That's winter. And now I'm here. But to get here, I went from Washington State to drove to Virginia, drove to Ohio, drove to Florida, drove to El Paso, Texas, went to Utah for Christmas, and now I'm here. So if you're wondering why I'm sounding like this, I think I just explained it. Amen? If you have your Bibles this morning, Genesis chapter 3, not going to exactly do what Brother Wilson said. What I'm actually going to do is get into the message and along the way explain to you what we're doing. Amen? Since I got the microphone and I'm up here, I can do what I want. Amen. Pastor's not here. Clock, it don't matter. Amen. Anyway, just joking. It's great to be at Lighthouse, though, because when we first got to Japan in 2002, I took a church over called Bible Baptist Church, and that year we changed the name of the church to Lighthouse Baptist Church. Amen. And then 7 years ago in 2015, we went to Okinawa and started Lighthouse Baptist Church of Okinawa. So it's good to be at Lighthouse this morning. Amen. It's good to be here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance to be at this church. Do be with the pastor and his family this morning. Be with my wife this morning. Be with everybody else that's not feeling well this morning, sick. Thank you for bringing my sister home from the hospital after dealing with pneumonia. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Father, now as we turn to your word, would you open our hearts and minds to your message? May we get through the message with our voice this morning. Lord, may we not hear from the preacher this morning, but may we hear from heaven itself. Father, we love you and we give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, this is a time that a lot of events led up to where Adam and Eve all of a sudden realize that they have fallen from God. Thank you, sir. Amen. And they're sitting here, and they all of a sudden, their eyes are open. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're going to go through some verses. You're going to try to figure out what in the world this is all about. But give me a moment and I'll connect all the dots for you. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I do want to thank you, before I forget, for your years of support through prayers and finances. You don't know the lives you've impacted. Amen. You say, well, I haven't been part of Lighthouse for a very long time, but you're here now, you're part of it, so you'll receive the rewards. Amen? And you have a lot of missionaries out of this church, and believe me, you are making a difference around the world, whether you know it or not. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2 says this. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Her name was Bathsheba. Here was King David over God's people. He had written psalms. He had killed the giant. He'd taken down the bear and the lion. He's done some great things, but all of a sudden he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, and certain things led up to this moment where he all of a sudden is out there and he looks upon a woman. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, amen? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Go with me to John chapter 8, verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 11. John chapter 8, verse 11. Thank you for bearing with me this morning. Hopefully my voice will last through the whole message, amen. John chapter 8, verse 11 says this. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here is a woman caught in adultery. They find her and they bring her in front of Jesus to condemn her and to test Jesus. Talk about double standards. Where's the guy? Amen. It took two, right? But yet she's standing there, And this person named Jesus, who she'd never met. Now, we don't know what her life was about. We don't know who she was and how she came to this point. But we do know that she wasn't doing right. Amen? We don't know if she was married. We don't know all the whole things. But she was with a person that was married. And she gets caught, and Jesus sits down, starts strolling some stuff, and people start looking on the ground, and they just one by one leave. And she asks her, "Where are your accusers?" She says, "I don't see any." And he says, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Amen? One more verse, Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. This is a guy named Saul. Saul is a pretty active guy. He's out there destroying God's church. He's putting people in jail. He's consented to Stephen's death. He is very zealous in what he's doing. And by the way, let's not get on him too much. He's doing it in the name of God, of Jehovah. Amen? He was out there doing what he thought was right. He was out there destroying what he thought was threatening his religion, was threatening his country, was threatening his God. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, we read this. "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, what do these four things have in common? In the Webster's 1828, a moment is defined as a minute period of time, an instant. Amen? And all four of these things was a moment. Adam and Eve did things, listened to the wrong people, that led up to a point where they fell, disobeyed, and sin entered into the world. Amen? You have David, who was a great man of God, who's been called a friend of God, whose throne Jesus is going to inherit, but yet he, as the godly man he was, all of a sudden, in a moment, caused somebody's death, caused the death of a baby, kept him from building the temple. I mean, in a moment, his entire life changed. There's a woman. We don't know her background. We don't know where she was from. We don't know her story. But yet, in a moment, while she was out in the world trying to find some peace, maybe, trying to find some love, she found true love. In the name of Jesus. He said, "I don't accuse you. Go your way." And then Saul, who was trying to destroy the church, who was trying to do what he thought was right for the cause of God, all of a sudden had to be blinded so that he could see. In a moment, his life completely changed. Let me ask you something this morning. Last couple of years, how many of us had some moments? Amen. Let me ask you something. In your life, how many of us have some moments? Amen. We've all had some moments, haven't we? I'll tell you, today is a hard day for me. Today is the day my dad passed away. And about 3 days, my son Daniel went home to be with the Lord 8 hours before he was born. He was born in Yokosuka, Japan. This is a tough time of year for me, but you know something? What do I do with those moments? What have you done with those moments? Amen? Moments can happen anytime, any place. This year, me and my wife have driven over 13,000 miles. There's been some moments where we got scared. You know why? Because in Japan, we drive on the other side of the road. There's been times I'm driving down the road and my wife will look up, go, "Get on the right, get on the right, get on the right, get on the right." You know, and she's panicking, you know. But you know something? There's been times when I've sat over there and go, "Oh no, get over there, get over there." You know? We don't know. We want to be very, very careful because of all the miles we're traveling. Amen. Matter of fact, when we live tonight, I'll be in Farmington, New Mexico. On next Sunday, I'll be in Tallahena and Ardmore, Oklahoma. And then after that, we're driving back to Virginia. We drive. You want to know something? How many of y'all watch those YouTube videos where the people are going over lanes and trucks are falling over and everything else? Amen. It makes us feel really comfortable driving down the roads of America. You know what I'm saying? The freeway in Japan, you know what the speed limit is? 80 kilometers. You know what that is? 48 miles an hour. On the freeway. Boy, you're doing 100 kilometers, which is 62 miles, and you're going, woo! You know? Get over here, and you're doing 80 miles an hour in Texas, and people are passing you. And you're doing the speed limit. Amen? It's crazy. But we never know when these moments might come up, do we? We don't know. I mean, who would have thought 2 years ago the error that we would enter into? Amen? I carry a mask in my pocket all the time because I never know if I'm going to have one or not. Amen? And all these things are going on. But can I tell you, on May 29th, 1986, I had a moment that changed my life. I was in Gießen, Germany. I was a sergeant in the United States Army. I'd been married just a couple years. We had a little two-year-old daughter. We got married in 1982. Our daughter was born in 1983. In 1984, I got shipped to Germany. And one morning, my wife said, I want to go to church. I was like, why? I'm not even going to ask how many people this morning said, and why? You know? Not going to go there, all right? But you see, I didn't grow up in church. My wife graduated from a Catholic high school. She went to Episcopalian churches, Southern Baptist churches. She wasn't so much religious as she was totally confused, amen? I was not confused. Church to me was wedding and funerals and family reunions. Why? Because every time somebody died, you got to see people you hadn't seen in years, amen? If somebody was getting married, you got to see people you hadn't seen in years. My mom was the youngest of 13 kids. We were spread out all over the place, amen? So that's what church to me was, and she said, I want to go to church. Why? She thought there needed to be more. So we did what a normal military couple would do. We went to the chapel, and everybody was leaving. Clocks had changed the night before. Yes! See, you got to understand, I worked 24 on, 24 off, 8-hour day. 24 on, 24 off, 8-hour day. 24 on, 24. So every third Sunday, I was either on duty or coming off duty. Every third weekend, I actually got 2 days off in a row. Why would I want to spend it with people like you? I'm just being honest, amen. I was like, the church people I met, I'm not too thrilled with, amen, you know? And so she went back home. She cried. Guys, how many, when your wife cries, you don't know what to do. You just sit in there and go. You know, it's kind of like your whole body contracts. It's like, you know, it's like, what's she crying for? You know, it's just church, you know. It's just, you know, boring whatever, you know. And my question was, who died? So anyway, I'm sitting there. And we go back home, and she opens this drawer, and she takes out this piece of paper. And this piece of paper was an invitation to a church. Somebody had the nerve to put that in our laundry room. We had a communal laundry room. We had a tower and everybody, all the washing and dryer. Somebody out there putting these papers on these things. And I'm like, you're ruining my day off, amen? Being real, right? You say you're exaggerating at all? Not at all. And I looked at that, said, Lawn Baptist Church, bunch of Germans. We're not going to know anything over there. Sprechen Sie BC and Deutsch? Yeah. No, not enough to go there. Amen. What did I say? Speak any German? Nah. Anyway, so we went to this church, Lawn Baptist Church, walked in there, and you know what was in there? Bunch of Americans. Soldiers and civilians and stuff that spoke English. And the preacher gets up there and he starts preaching. And man, I mean, he preached pretty good. You see, I'd went to this church once before at Fort Bragg. A guy invited me to church. And a guy get up there and tell me how I need to destroy. Yeah, I'm going to date myself. Records. Amen. I need, yeah, some of them are going, records. Google. All right. But anyway. and he just was up there telling me what I needed to do to live a great life and all this stuff. And basically everything he was saying, I was like, who is this guy? Amen. And I turned to the guy that took me there. I said, Sergeant, who is this guy? Oh, he's an elder in the church that just wanted to share this morning. I said, he can share with somebody else. And I got up and walked out. But this guy did something different. He opened a Bible and said, "So saith the Lord." And then he did something that really messed me up after church. He came up to me and said, "You've got to come back. I'm not the pastor. You've got to meet my pastor." And I'm like, "Dude, we're in church. Settle down. You know, somebody gets married, you're excited. Somebody dies, you're not. Amen. Where are we at in this process here?" You know what I'm saying? So he was all excited. And the people were excited. That brought me back to that church. And I listened to the preacher. And then on May 29th, 1986, now you got to understand, they were at church and they were talking about everybody going to the pastor's house for this thing called visitation. I didn't know what that was. I looked at my wife and said, "Cookies and coffee, you want to go?" You know? I'm serious, amen. I said, "Well, we just started coming to this church. We better not just, let's wait a little bit." I said, "Okay." So he knocks on the door and I go through that little peephole and I'm like, "It's the preacher." Everybody's at his house. What's he doing here? Amen. So I opened the door. I'm not exaggerating. That's what happened. Amen. And I opened the door and he comes in and he sits down and thanked us for visiting the church and everything. He said, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "Yeah." And I went in and got an old school Phil King James Bible that my mother-in-law had given us. And I handed it to him, and everywhere he went in that Bible was highlighted where she had highlighted and made notes. And that night, for the first time in my life, I heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I was like, wow. You see, I knew who Jesus was. At Christmas, I got presents because of the big fat guy, right? And then during Easter, I got candy because of the skinny rabbit, and I never figured that two out. Yeah. Why isn't the fat guy bringing me the food or candy, you know? So anyway, I just thought about that. You can use that. That was funny, amen? Anyway. But I knew what Jesus was. He was the guy on the cross, or he's the guy in the babe, or the babe in the manger, right? How many of you thought that was Jesus for a long time? Amen. That's who I thought he was. But for the first time, this preacher told me he was a savior. And then he told me something incredible. He told me why he was a savior. That was incredible. Amen. And that night, on May 29th, 1986, that preacher stood at sat on our couch. There was a coffee table, my wife here, me here. We bowed our heads and at the exact same time accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Amen? And that started us on a road to military missions. And that's what I'm here for this morning, military missions. I want to explain to you, there's like three different actual types of missions and missionaries, but there's other types, support groups and stuff, but three main people. One is your foreign missionary. That's what we normally think of when we think about missionaries, right? What is their job? A missionary is to go to a country to learn their language, amen, learn their culture. It's fascinating about Japanese. I had a buddy over there. I said, "Man, you're really coming up on your Japanese. You're really speaking Nihongo very good. Nihongo is Japanese in their language, amen?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "So when are you going to start preaching?" He goes, "You got to understand, there's Japanese, and then there's the Japanese Christian language." He said, "I've got to learn this now because they don't know that language." Did I spit on you? I'm sorry. It's been a bad morning for me so far. All I saw was droplets going across. I'm not contagious. So anyway, where was I at? Oh, so he's got to learn this language that the Japanese don't even know. Now, in America, when people start talking Christianity and stuff, we basically understand the language, don't we? But they have to go and now learn a language that the Japanese people don't learn know. And now, I was preaching at Shinko Baptist Church, and Brother Dan Gardner was there, and I said this thing, and he went, "Pah." I'm like, "Okay." Then I went, "Pah," and he went, "Pah." I said, "Wait a minute. What was that?" He said, "Well, they understood that concept, and in Japanese, this is that concept." He said, "But they don't know this concept, so I had to explain it to them." I was like, "That's amazing." Amen. So that's our idea of a foreign missionary, somebody that goes to a country and sits there and learns the language, learns the culture, and starts a church, starts winning people to Christ and build a church, right? That's missions in most people's minds. Then we have home missions. Home missions is somebody that would like go to Utah and where it's prevalent Mormonism there, start a church for Christianity. Amen. For people that kind of know the language, understand the culture, but don't understand the doctrine. Amen. Then you have military missions. Military missions is a unique mission. Because military mission is what we would call in the Army pre-positioning. Amen? You see, what we're doing as a military missionary is going overseas. We already know the culture and the language. Matter of fact, over the last few years, 20 years, I've become fluent in Army, Navy, Marine, and Air Force. Amen? I can stand behind the pulpit. So if you're in the Army here this morning, the latrine is right over there. If you're in the Navy or the Marines, you say, the head is over there. If you're in the Air Force, you say, the puff room is over there. Anyway, how many Air Force guys we got? Yeah, sorry. So anyway, oh man, this is recorded. Hi, Pastor. Anyway, Brother Callahan, I don't know why we just lost all the Air Force guys. Not until after the joke I'm about to tell. Anyway, so we're pre-positioning. We're going over to try to get a building, try to get things together so that when you, the American people, send soldiers, Marines, airmen, and Navy overseas, there's a church there waiting for them. That's military missions. And by the way, you know, I had a great time at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday. If you guys don't go to these men's prayer breakfasts, you need to go to them. We had a blast, amen? And then we prayed in the middle of McDonald's. I love that, amen? People that are afraid to pray in public, amen? You know, you got your drop the napkin prayers. Lord, thank you for this food. Damn. You know. I just saw some people go. Anyway. But what we have to understand is we're going over to pre-position. Oh, what the men's prayer breakfast I was going to say. There's a lot of Army vets in there. Amen? And it was a great time. Two civilian guys sitting there going, I don't have a clue what they're talking about, but we'll go with it anyway. And they had fun too. Amen? Excuse me. I've been looking for these. So you need to understand that what we're trying to do as military missionaries is that when you send families. You see, normally when we think about military going overseas, we think about the sailor, the airman, the soldier, and the Marine. But what about the families? You see, when I was in Germany, my wife is the one that said, let's go to church. I wouldn't have gone on my own. But my wife went. We have 6 children. Every time we went someplace, we got a new church, and they went to church. Amen. Our children never asked if they were going to church. They were missionary kids. They said, what church are we going to? Amen. It was great. And we sat there, and we through the years, everywhere we went, we started looking for churches to be a part of. Why? Because when I got deployed, I wanted to make sure there was somebody taking care of my family. Why? Moments. Moments. You see, if your husband has a certain job, when our wife has a certain job and they go out that door, most of us don't wonder if they're going to come back at the end of the day. Most of us expect them to return. My wife had a baby at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, got her home from the hospital, enjoyed the night, woke up the next morning, phone was ringing. I picked it up. 2 weeks later, I saw my wife and child again. I was on a short notice deployment. That's the way military is. Amen. The longest me and my wife's been apart is 7 months. She moved our house while I was gone. See, we don't think about the family a lot of times. Amen. We don't think about maybe the wife is serving in the military and what the guy has to go through now bringing up children and stuff. Amen. We don't think about those things. And by the way, whatever you think about those, it's life and it's reality. Amen. We had a woman in church. Her husband was an F-18 pilot. And she came up to me and said, we got our orders, we're leaving. I said, wasn't your husband going out on the ship? She goes, yeah, he'll go out on the ship for 6 months and meet me in San Diego. She was out to here. She was ready to give birth in the next month or so. I said, so who's helping you move? She goes, I'm moving. Who's going to help you set up your new house? I'm setting up my new house. Why, her husband is out there flying F-18s across the Mediterranean Sea. You see, that's real military life. That's real military life. It's so funny. I retired in 1999. I sit down with my wife and I gave her the talk. Well, honey, I'm retiring. Things are going to be different around here. I'm going to be here. This is what, yeah, my wife cut me off real short and said, let me tell you something, Buster. I've been doing this a long time. You're coming into our life. We ain't changing nothing. You stay out of my way. You say, you let her talk to you like that? Yeah, and you do too. Amen? See, this is what's messed up about live stream now. I used to be able to tell stories like this. My wife would never hear it. Now I'm going to go home, and she goes, and she said, you know what you said? And I said, I didn't say that. And she's going to go, yes, you did. Amen. But anyway. Yeah. Amen. Should have paid the guy to keep the mic off. But anyway, but that's military life. Amen. That's military life. So for the last, for 20 years, we were the missionary, or the military people. For 20 years, we've been the missionary. So what am I doing now? Armed Forces Baptist Missions, located in Chesapeake, Virginia, is an organization, a ministry totally dedicated to the military ministry. Amen? Armed Forces Baptist Missions. In October of last year, we lost our church building. Not because of COVID or anything, but in Japan, it's not uncommon for somebody to, well, it's a really common practice. Somebody owns land, somebody owns the building. Amen? One of the largest churches over there own their building, but they don't own the land. Amen? And so that's what happened. So what came about is the guy that owned our land sold it, which put the guy that owned the building in a pickle. So what happened is they tore that building apart and moved it. I sit there and literally watched them tear it apart and move it. He sold the building. So that left us without a building. So what do? I do what I always do. Well, not last October, the October before that. We're in 2022 now. So in October of 2020, they sold the land and we lost our building. So we moved the church back in our house. Now, I don't know if you guys were affected by it over here, but we were in a pandemic over there. Amen? And the military was like shutting down, right? And there was rules and regulations. I could not have more than 10 people in my house, and it could only be one other family. So church, hello, amen? So confession time, every Sunday we broke the law because I wasn't about to shut the door and people still came, amen? But we were losing those people. One couple, we'd been with us for 4 years. The other couple, the one young lady had been with us almost 4 years. The couple had been with us almost 5 years. They both left in July of last year. We were losing other people. So the church was basically leaving through rotation and contracts being up and all those things. So we were just losing our church. And then people would call and say, hey, we're interested in Lighthouse Baptist Church. Where are you located? Oh, I'm in my house. Well, it was good talking to you. Click, you know, because they can't do that because of the restrictions and stuff and vaccinations and all that and all the, you know, things going on. So anyway, I started looking for a building because everybody that had a building was doing good. So I started looking for a building and I said, There's something different. I can't figure out what's going on. I don't have that excitement. There's something going on. God, are you closing doors? So I called my pastor. I said, Pastor, are you closing doors? He said, I'm closing doors. Great. What door are you opening? And that's the one I'm interested in. Well, 3 years ago, I met a guy, and he introduced me to an organization called AFBM. Didn't think twice about it back then and stuff, moved on with my life. But he got COVID, and I follow him on Facebook. We became Facebook friends. And I'm allowed to be a Facebook person. No, anyway, just checking. Hi, Pastor. Anyway, and you're live streaming through Facebook, so we're good. All right, but anyway, you go into some churches, and that's a bad word. Amen. So I contacted him because he had COVID and stuff. And I said, so how you doing, Harold? He said, oh, I'm doing great. Recovering, things are going well. He said, hey, we got a new director at AFBM. You ought to give him a call. I said, yeah, okay, whatever. And so a couple weeks went by, and I gave him a call. His name's Colonel Brown. Colonel Kevin Brown, retired, flew helicopters, United States Army, 26 years. And you know what? Remember that guy I told you about in Lawn Baptist Church with all that excitement and all that enthusiasm? Brother Brown's got all that. He said, "Oh, you know, AFBM's kind of been going downhill a little bit. We've had some problems here." But he said, "But look, this is what we're going to do." He didn't say, "This is my vision." He didn't say, "This is what I hope to do." He said, "This is what we're going to do." So we started talking. Now, I'm not a phone talking person. I'm the guy that if I call you, I'm like right into business. I'm not like, "Hey, how you doing today? How's the kids? How's, you know, life in general?" No, "Hey, this is what I need," right? That's me. For an hour, I talked to this guy on the phone from Japan. And then I talked to him again. And you know something? His enthusiasm, I called my pastor, said, "Pastor, I think this is what God wants me to do." He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to help recruit." You know, I was 44 years old when I got to the mission field. You're not too old to get to the mission field, guys. Ladies, hello? Anybody in here listening? I said, "I'm recruiting military missions, the best mission field in the world, amen? Dealing with our armed forces, about going about the world, amen? I'm going to be encouraging missionaries on deputation and helping them along in their walk. I wish I had somebody 25 years ago to help me along my path, amen? I'm going to be encouraging missionaries already on the field. We got people in Italy, we got people in Korea, we got people in Hawaii, we got people going to Guam and England, amen? And we got people all across America. So I'm going to help to encourage and counsel and help missionaries on the field. And the most exciting part is when a missionary comes home on furlough, guess who gets to go and fill in for him? Your pastor wrote me this morning, said, "God's plan was for you to be here this morning to fill in for me so I could be homesick." Amen? You know, that's happened to me before. I was with one pastor going through hip replacements. In the middle of the hip replacement, he had a gallbladder. He didn't have anybody to cover for him. I covered for him for a month. You see, it's important to have that continuity for somebody to fill in for you. Amen? And so that's what I'm going to be doing. So what am I going to be doing as your missionary, as part of AFBM? All kinds of stuff. Amen? My official title is Director of Operations. But that means I'm over the home office and stuff. But that also means I'm on the road like this. This month, I'm going to be at a Bible college recruiting students into the military mission field, amen, and getting our name out and letting people know who we are. So pray for us in that. And maybe God would find grace to call somebody out of here into the military mission, amen. I got prayer cards out there on the Welcome Center. Make sure you take a prayer card out. Kind of hesitated this morning to pass it out because everybody's looking at me going, "I don't want to get around him. He don't sound too good, amen. It's just sinuses, all right?" And but take a prayer card, amen. And if God leads you in a certain way to maybe help or do something for military missions, please do that, amen. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is what I know is a truth. Sometimes we take for granted what we have. Amen. Sometimes we take for granted what we have. Normally it takes a position of maybe losing it, maybe something happening, those moments I talked about, to make us appreciate them or whatever. But what we've learned through the pandemic is this. You're special because there's a lot of churches that aren't looking like this morning. But looked like this 2 years ago. Where people got used to sitting at home and watching it on the live stream. Now, our live stream, when we started that, became a big blessing because a lot of my family started watching. Former members of Lighthouse started watching. People that wouldn't normally come to church started watching. But to get them into church was a major thing. And this is what I'm finding out in my travels, because I think you're the 11th church we've been in since November is this. There's a lot of people take this for granted. There's a lot of people that don't realize what they have. You know how special this is? Amen? This is amazing. People coming together from all different backgrounds. Guess what the Army is? People coming together in all different kinds of backgrounds. That's what I loved about the military, was people that you get to meet from all different type of backgrounds, all different types of part of the country, different accents and people with different languages and stuff. That's what I loved about it. Overseas, man, every potluck we had was an international dinner because we had people from Philippines, we had Japanese, we had people from the South, you know. I sit down and a lady baked some gumbo, and I always kind of hesitated with that. Well, I was 3 years at Fort Bragg, or Fort Polk, Louisiana. I'm sorry, Fort Polk. I was at Bragg too, but it's some medicine. Anyway, so, but the minute I bit into it, I said, "What part of Louisiana are you from, ma'am?" And she told me. I could tell, you know. And that was our potlucks. They were great, amen. What, people from all different backgrounds. Well, here in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they had come to Jerusalem, and this church got started, 3,000 people getting saved, baptized. It was an incredible thing. God's adding to the church. And we picked the story up in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. You know what we're missing in our churches today? People that are gladly receiving his word. Well, preacher, I don't like what you said this morning. The part I said or the part God said? You got an issue with a verse that was read? Or the issue with me expounding on the verse? What part did you have a problem with? Because I told you, my opinion is my opinion. God's opinion is the truth. Amen. Gladly received his word. Every time I went to church and got upset, I understood who the problem was. Right? It was me. I didn't gladly receive his word. I didn't like what the preacher was saying. I wasn't in the mood to hear it. Amen? I want to challenge you something next week. What if you came, or even tonight, what if you came to church as prepared to receive the message as the man of God is to give the message? What if you prayed as hard as he prayed? What if you studied as hard as he? What if you took the message from last week? And I was with my pastor one time. He said, "Brother Callahan, don't ever ask somebody in the back this question." I said, "What?" He said, "Somebody come up to me and said, wow, I really liked the message this morning." And he asked her, "What part?" And she was like, he said, "Don't do that." Because they're just saying, they liked you. Amen. I was like, okay. So one morning, I'm at Lighthouse Baptist Church, Zama, Japan. And I open the door, and this guy's standing there, and he explodes on me. He exploded on me. "I hate your preaching. I hate this church. I hate the music. I hate everything about this place." Good morning. I'm about to go down and preach the love of God. Would you like to come? You know, I didn't say that. I just stood there dumbfounded because he just blew me away at the door, right? Just boom. By the way, he eventually got his heart right and married a preacher's daughter, served him right. So anyway, but he was going through those moments, you know what I mean? And he just goes off on me and storms off. I walk down the hallway, take a left, go down the steps into the auditorium, and this woman's sitting there going, "Pastor Kelly, I love this church. You're preaching. The music, you know." I'm sitting there going, "I want you to talk to this guy out here." You know? And that's the way it goes sometimes, amen? Some people are going through some things, and what you're preaching or what you're saying, guess what? They're not gladly receiving the word of God. I mean, some of you have gone through some stuff, and then they expect you to come to church, smile. And by the way, don't do the ministry fake smile. "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great." Somebody asks you how you're doing, you ought to answer them truthfully sometime. What's the look on their face? "Really didn't mean to really know what you're going through, you know." Gladly receive his word. By the way, that wasn't in my notes. That's all free. I don't know where that came from. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Why do we have so many churches today? Because we have not continued in the apostles' doctrines. We want to go with what we got. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added in the church daily such as should be saved. You know what I've never heard a pastor say or a church say? We have enough workers. We have enough people. We have enough. Oh, you may say that about a ministry, but not about the church. Amen? You know what we say in missionary world? There's never enough missionaries. By the way, God's called them. Just very few have answered. There's people in this church passing out ministry papers this morning. I wonder, and it's none of my business. I'm a visitor here, but how many have people go, you know? You ought to look at that and actually pray about it. Amen? How to do that? That was free also. You're welcome. So anyway, go with me to, we're going to hit this real quick. James 5:16. If you don't get there fast enough, that's fine. I'll read it to you. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that they may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. I can't even get the pages apart. The Bible says that, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is not where I want to be, is it? I'm in 2 Timothy. Amen. Somebody needed that, and I hope you have gladly received it. Let's say it together. It's the medicine. All right. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Now, this is exciting because this is where I wanted to be. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. No, that's not it either. Amen. Hebrews chapter, because I'm in Hebrews 12. Amen. Don't tell me you haven't had one of those days, all right? I'm just doing this for your amusement. That's all. All right. My wife's at home going, yeah, we'll be talking about that when we get home. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. I may have somebody else read it. I don't know. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of Christ of sin. You know, sometimes we reach out to the wrong people. And then we wonder why God doesn't work in our lives. The people you ought to be hanging around with is people that you know will pray for you. Exhort you, amen? Exhort you. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll try to stay in Hebrews, amen? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Says this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, do you know Christ is coming back? You say, well, he may not be back for 1,000 years. We're one day closer. He's coming back. We're supposed to be doing more. Did you notice in Acts chapter Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. Daily they were in the temple. Daily they were breaking bread. You know how important fellowship is? Yeah, now, and we sent people overseas expecting the military to provide them the equipment, the training, and all this other stuff. But what about the spiritual need? That's what we're doing. We're trying to provide a spiritual need to give our military personnel, their families, exactly what we take for granted here this morning. Fellowship. Praying for one another. Lifting each other up. Exhorting to one another. Hey, I would like to exhort you this morning. God's not done with you yet. No matter who you are, no matter what you're going through, those moments that you're going through have been given to you to make you stronger and uplift your hands so when somebody else goes through something, you can exhort them and love on them and pray for them. Amen. My wife went through a miscarriage and we had peace about it. He died of Down syndromes, and we said, "Well, God, if you don't want him to have, you don't want us to have him, that's fine." The nurses were crying. The nurses, we were comforting them because they couldn't understand why we were going through what we were going through without anger and without frustration. We're like, it's in God's hands. And then our pastor calls my wife. He's in Texas. We're in Japan. He calls her, prays with her over the phone. These women are breaking down. Well, we had a sister church that we would do fellowships with and picnics with. And we went to a picnic, and there was one of the nurses said, "Man, after all I saw what you guys went through, I started searching for a church because I needed what you guys have." You never know what you're going through may help somebody else. Amen? You never know. 1 Corinthians 15:52 talks about a moment, a twinkling of an eye, when Christ will come back and we'll be taken up. Amen? You see, I have a life verse and it keeps me straight. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." What is our mission but to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ? What is our mission but to deliver the good news of how God took you through a journey? When you had those moments, amen? You see, you can react to these moments any way you want. Adam and Eve saw the truth and turned away. David saw the truth and turned back and accepted the consequence. The woman saw no accuser and turned from sin. Saul had to be blinded before he saw, and he turned from being a church destroyer to a church builder. That's what those things had a moment of, how they reacted to those moments. How have we reacted to moments? Maybe there's somebody this morning that needs that moment of salvation. There's people around this auditorium that can take you out of God's word and show you how you can receive what I first received, how that Christ died for my sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day for my sins, for me personally. But maybe you're going through some moments and you haven't been able to deal with it very well. Maybe you just need to find somebody, say, "Would you pray with me about it?" Amen. I challenge you to do this. Next time somebody says, "Would you help me pray about this?" Stop and pray. Right then. Because that's what the Bible exhorts us to do. You going through a moment? There's military people all over this world that through this holiday was not home for Christmas, was not home for New Year's Eve. I can remember sitting on a tax site in Germany watching the fireworks while I talked to my wife on the phone because I was on duty and she was at home. I can remember Christmases that we weren't together. Was it all worth it? Every bit of it. But praise God, for the last 20 years, we've been able to provide something for our military that they wouldn't normally have if it wasn't for us being there. When God called us back, I couldn't figure out why. You know why? Because we need military missionaries. And he has sent me back to help restock the team, if you will, to get people interested in military missions, to get you praying for them. When you read on the news, you know that we're in over 70 countries as the military? 70 countries you can't even pronounce or even know about. We're there. We need people there to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're going through a moment this morning, won't you let us pray for you? Well, if you have that moment of need of salvation, won't you let us help you through that? You see, that's what the church is really about, to help somebody gladly receive the word of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for a chance to be here this morning. Thank you for Lighthouse and all the many years. I remember being here the first time with Brother Preston. What great fellowship then and what great fellowship today. And Father, thank you for allowing me to keep my voice through this message this morning, that the hearer may hear. But Lord, it doesn't matter if they don't respond to it. Don't let them turn away. Let them turn to. Don't let them not find the love that they deserve through your blood and through your heart. And Father, let them be blinded just for a moment to this world so they can open their eyes to the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, would you have your will and way as we go into this invitation this morning? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In the Old Testament, the priest would sit there and he'd wait for somebody to come with sacrifice, a lamb, a goat, whatever, a calf. And the priest would look at it and say, it's acceptable. And they put it on the altar and they'd sacrifice it. And that symbolic gesture covered their sin, gave them what they needed at that moment. You know what an altar call is about? It's about the exact same thing. But except this, the sacrifice has already been made through Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. And this is symbolic of the altar, where you can come and the priest would lay their hands on the sacrifice, and the person would lay their hand on the sacrifice. This is kind of coming up and putting your hands on the altar, say, I accept your sacrifice, now help me through what I'm going through. So it's more than just a movement toward a step or something. It's symbolic of what God has done for us, just like baptism. Amen? Just like that. So coming to an altar isn't a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. Coming to an altar is not a sign that says, well, I can't do it on my own. Oh, wait, whoa. Yeah, it is a sign that says, I can't do it on my own. And maybe somebody come up, put a shoulder on you and pray with you. That's what this altar is for. So as the music plays and we stand together this morning, if God's speaking to your heart, don't hold back this morning. You say, well, I'm worried about what people will think of me. Let me tell you, if people think that way, they're the ones that need to be at the altar this morning. Amen? Don't think about what anybody else thinks about you. Think about what God thinks about you. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, every head bowed, eyes closed, nobody look around. I don't know how you do invitations here. But if God's speaking to your heart this morning, you need to come and let God work in your heart. Amen? Let God work on your heart. And the reason we close our eyes and bow our head is because we don't want